What makes Mount Everest so alluring for mountaineers is also what makes it dangerous, the extremes. Everest is not considered a technically difficult ascent, but it is so tall, more than 29,000 feet, it creates its own conditions of cold, wind, and risk. That's why 8 climbers died in a single day there 5 years ago, half of them on an expedition led by one of the most experienced guides at the time, New Zealander Rob Hall. He lay stranded near the peak for a day and a half, while a storm prevented rescuers from saving him. He died slowly, sometimes talking by radio with his pregnant wife far away in Auckland. 5 years later, one of those who led the rescue of survivors returned to Everest. David Brashears trekked through the Everest region last month, recording impressions and recollections for National Geographic Radio Expeditions. Here is part two of Reconsidering Everest with David Brashears.
I've been on the trail about 5 or 6 hours, and I've just left treeline at around 14,000 feet. I've taken shelter behind a large rock. I kind of feel like I need a rest. I didn't get much sleep last night. It was a very difficult night. I was awakened around midnight by the screams and shouts of a woman. She was shouting, "Bring oxygen, bring oxygen." And I was shaken and unnerved by the terror in her voice. And for a moment I was disoriented and confused. The room was pitch black and I couldn't find my flashlight. And I was transported back to Everest in May of 1996. And the first desperate, pleading radio calls from Rob Hall. He was stranded above the Hillary Step at 28,700 feet. His client Doug Hansen had collapsed. A storm was raging around him and he was calling to his guides to bring more oxygen. His guides were already in a fight for their own lives in the same storm and will be of little use to Rob that night. I finally realized that the voice I was hearing, the voice of a woman, was coming from an adjoining room in the lodge in which I was staying. Her companion, a 55-year-old woman, was suffering from the first of 5 epileptic seizures she would suffer that night. And at 7 in the morning, a helicopter arrived and took this very durable, remarkable woman back to Kathmandu. And so on the trail today, I was thinking about Rob, as I often do. I was thinking about that terrible, awful night he endured as he struggled to save Doug Hansen's life and then his own. Doug Hansen had reached the summit of Everest quite late, around 4 p.m. Rob was waiting for him. And shortly after leaving the summit, about 300 feet from the summit, just above the Hillary Step, he had collapsed. He was out of oxygen and he was out of energy. I can't imagine the sheer violence and chaos as Rob struggled to bring Doug down. You turn to the wind and your goggles are frozen over and your face is frozen and your hands begin to freeze. I wouldn't have wanted to have been in Rob's shoes. He was faced with a terrible dilemma. Should he stay with Doug, even though I'm sure at a certain point in time he knew there was no hope for Doug? Or should he leave Doug behind and save his own life? In the end, Rob did the right thing and he stayed with Doug through that night. I have no doubt that Rob could have saved his own life that night, but I just don't think he could bring himself to do it. At his urging and under his leadership, Doug had been allowed to climb far too late in the day, and Rob's final responsibility on that mountain was to look after Doug. And I know in my heart that there was a time or a moment when Rob knew Doug was finished, that he would never get him down that mountain But Doug was probably still conscious and able to talk to Rob, maybe even pleading to be not left behind. And that would have been impossible for Rob to do, to leave Doug behind while there was still one breath of life left in him. And therein lies one of the sources of the conflicting feelings that one left Everest with in 1996. Is Rob a great hero for having stayed with Doug to the end? Or was he an irresponsible leader who never should have allowed his client to climb so high so late? For me, Rob will always be a little bit of both. There's a widely held belief that mountains kill you, that they're dangerous, and that if you go there, you're probably going to die. Of course, that's not true at all. We know the dangers we will find on those slopes, and we prepare for them, and sometimes we throw the dice, and our numbers don't turn out the way we wanted. But mountains don't kill people. For the most part, incompetence, ambition, greed, and hubris kill people in the mountains. Of course, there can always be that random stone falling 3,000 feet. We accept that events like that, avalanches, rockfall, icefall, are part of the inherent danger of being in mountains. What I don't accept, and what most mountaineers do not accept, is that you die in the mountains because of inexperience or incompetence. What's closer to the truth is the idea that by going into great mountains and encountering great risks sometimes, by using all your skills and all your experience and having those brief, intense moments when sometimes you're closer to death than you ever thought you would be, those moments actually make you appreciate life to a greater degree, and maybe to grasp it more firmly.
Field notes for radio expeditions from David Brashears. His book, High Exposure, recounts the Everest tragedy. Radio Expeditions is a co-production of NPR News and the National Geographic Society.